The socially distanced NFL draft is finally here, and you can follow all the action at betonline.net. Wondering who will be the first, second, and third draft pick? Do you know if more offensive or defensive players will be taken in the first round? Have a hunch on how many trades will take place in the first round? Maybe you're into oddities like how many draftees' dogs will be shown during first round coverage. Before the draft goes live, head over to betonline.net for the latest props, lines, and odds. Bring the draft home with betonline.net.
It's time for the World Arm Wrestling League this week. I'm your host, Neil Pickup, and it is on.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gents. Show number 49 of World Arm Wrestling League this week with myself, Neil Pickup. Hope you're all well. If you checked out last week's show, show 48, you will know that it was the first of a two-parter. The same four guests are with me once again on the line. Canada's Brendan Lemon Mulvihill. Australia's Ryan Blue Bowen, the Angry Bird, Adam Wilmot, who had so much to say and will again, and California's own natural Jamie Sheldon. Ladies and gentlemen, fasten up your chin straps. It's about to get bumpy. Ryan Bowen, we've travelled through space and time for at least like a minute and a half. We heard an entertaining story again from the Angry Bird, which will stay as a story in the four of our minds till we get to LA and we see it go off. But we just heard a comment from Angry Bird about Jamie Sheldon, and he was going to flash pin him 3-0. Quickest win in World Arm Wrestling League history, and you were just about to come in with an answer, mate, I think.
Yeah, I think that Jeff Hale provides an interesting perspective, and I wanted to know Angry Bird's opinion. Given that Jeff Hale has picked Jamie Sheldon to win this, given how much he knows both of you guys, how does that affect you, man? You got to give the man some validity in his opinion. How do you see his opinion?
And I give Jeff's opinion a lot of respect. But I don't know how much that was because he's Jamie's friend and he didn't want to have to pick against him on the show. And I don't know how much of that was from what he actually felt from the two of us. I think I have a much stronger hand and wrist than Jamie right now. All right. I was able to take Jeff's hand. Jamie was not really ever really threatening Jeff's hand at all. So I'm feeling pretty confident right now. If I take Jamie's hand, I'm going to take his arm, and that's going to be the end of the night.
Now, Jamie, when you pulled Alan Fisher in the last round that you won, so round number three, you lost your hand there, but you had enough side to just literally grip through it with the sort of a – you still had a lot of back pressure applied there, but your wrist and hand had gone, but your arm was certainly strong enough to get the job done. Is that something you've really worked extensively on, or is that just part of – did you just feel at that point that you had enough connection through the elbow to get it done there?
Yeah, it was actually when Alan Fall started on that last one and took my hand slightly, and then I pushed through it, which wasn't the first time that's happened. I've done that with Alan before. I didn't feel Alan's hand when I top rolled him the first match, so I don't worry about top roll. Mm-hmm. Angry Bird is got an amazing top roll, but he's not fast enough to flash pin me. I've had flash pin type of guys like Corey Miller take my hand and I push through that. I've had flash pin guys like Luke Kent take my hand and I push through that. So I don't worry about losing my hand if it happens. If, and I'm going to say if, because there are situations where I'll lose the match. I mean, I'm not the strongest guy on the planet, but if I lose my hand and I'm still in a specific position to where I can use my tricep to push through it, take my hand, then let's see who's stronger.
Well, you know what? I was reading some comments the other day, and everybody's familiar with the Cock of the Walk competition, yeah, that James Reed and crew were running with the RVJ in the middleweight division. I'm sure that Ryan and Brendan are extremely familiar with that and some of the guys that are going to be involved. Now, one of the posts that Rob Bidgent Jr. put out there was where he was offering a bonus for anybody that would take on three basic moves of the sport during the event. So win with a hook.
I'll do it to Brendan. Oh. I hope Rob will still pay for that. But yeah, I reckon I could do it to Brendan in one super match.
Well, let's be serious here.
That's hilarious.
I wanted to build on. Of you guys, of the four of you, how many of you can say with absolute honesty and confidence that within your career, Supermatch or otherwise, you have won in the three fundamental hook, top, press? Have you all done that? Have
100%.
I haven't pressed a shoulder rolled somebody from the amateur since my amateur days. It's always been hook and top roll since I've started in the pro ranks. But you got me intrigued now. I might try to break that out.
Do you feel like
stuff at practice Wednesday? Neil,
sorry, say again, Mike.
I commented on that post, Neil, and I said, hey, Rob, is it like a Jerry Catterett type of press initiated off the go, or can you transition? And that started a whole other debate in that post because
yes, how many people dive into a press like Jerry? You did that to What's Jeff. That? You started it in top roll, and then you jumped up real quick for that tricep press. You don't think I remember watching that in that video, but I do, and I'm ready for it if you try that bullshit on me.
Second match, you mean?
Yeah, when you guys both top rolled, and it looked like you were going to slip, and then you just jumped on his hand and pressed. Yeah, I seen that, and I'm ready for it if it comes.
By the time you're learning
from Luke Kent to pull me, that's bad news for you. Because we all seen what I did to Luke Kent, and if you didn't, go look it up on YouTube right now.
Do not tell me you punched Luke Kent in the face.
No, I punched his arm down to the pad in the blink of an eye, though.
Yeah, Neil, you answer your question. That, I think that you got to be able to do it off the go for it to be valid. Like, by the time I've bled Brandon to the point where he wants to pin himself, I can literally do anything to the man at that stage. So you don't need to be that your connections don't need to be that amazing to be able to press or whatever at that point. But to be able to press off the go when your opponent's still legit going sideways hard, that's a different beast. Not many people can do that. And to be able to force a hook when someone else is not wanting to go there, that's another talent. And likewise, to be able to top roll when someone's convinced they're going into a hook. That's what I would personally characterize as a tick in the box and what Rob's talking about, as opposed to transitioning. And for me, no dramas. I could do that.
So you're saying that right now that you can get the technical grand slam on Brandon Lemon in LA?
I think so. Ooh. I think if I play my cards right, I think that if we get a good drawn out match for
something out there in Australia, I don't even know what it is, but you're crazy. You think you're doing that to Brandon? Yo, you are eating them eucalyptus leaves that the koala bears eat. All right, get off that shit. You don't need it. It's bad for your health. You are crazy, dude. You are not going to pull off no trifecta on Brendan like that.
So whatever way I win the first round, I'll either win the first round. When I say the first round, I'm talking about my first round. Brendan might get a point on the board, but the first round I win will either be a top roll or a hook. It'll be one of those two, and whichever one I do, I'll pick the next one for the next round, and then I'll press him for my final round.
You're gonna press me. All right.
Yeah, off the go. I'll press you when I'm on two and you're on none or one.
My man, you are so silly. You are the silliest
This dude is silly. It's because of lack of sleep. I know what that does to a person. I came on the last show with lack of sleep, and you should have sounded how fruity I freaking sounded.
Man, nobody has been doing that to me lately. I promise you, I haven't seen it. He's seen me perform at these winning these.
Your arm's going to be like, so blown up it. By round three or four.
After having
refused to pin yourself, you're going to have such a pumped hand that literally, like I said, I could have my way with you by that time. And so pressing is not an issue. Off the go.
I'm just fascinated by that claim that you're basically going to technical grand slam Brendan. I mean, but what you were saying there, just for clarity, Ryan, is that by the third round, Brendan's going to be so destroyed. His arm is going to be so fatigued, filled with lactic acid, that he won't have anything left. And that's the reason why you'd be confident.
Yeah, I think that, like, if round one, I wouldn't dare look for a straight out press off against someone of Brennan's caliber. No way. That'd be too risky on my elbow. I mean, if I have my shoulder in and I'm connected, I can handle big force through the tendons in my elbow. That's fine. But when it's against a human and someone's hitting hard, yeah, I'm not at that level yet of preparedness in my elbow. But by round three or four, yeah, once Brennan's struggling to close his hand in the setup, then we can talk about Preston.
Three or four? It's only going to be three rounds, you silly little goose.
You think I'm going to do you 3-0?
Call him a silly little goose?
You should back yourself up, Preston.
You need to go to trash talking school, brother.
You should be at the least until
we can. I thought we topped out with him calling you a sacrificial lamb, but silly little goose.
No, That's
up there. That is up there, mate.
You know what? That's got to be a Canadian thing. They're just too freaking nice up there, you know?
Oh, exactly.
I live in Buffalo where people are, like, completely miserable 100% of the time. You go just across a bridge, and it's the nicest people in the world. It's clean, and everybody wants to be your friend. You come over to where I live, and people will just as soon step on your face than look at you.
That's two movie references you've done in the last hour, Adam. I like it.
Yeah. Jamie.
But hey, if that Ryan and Brennan match goes five rounds and it's that kind of a war, just make sure that those guys get that match bonus. And let's keep the money. Let's keep the money in the lighter weight classes. Instead of these big boys stealing the show.
All I'm saying is this.
Eat it up.
We already know from Brendan and Ryan that, number one, Brendan is going to put Ryan in a hook. Whether he likes it or not, he's going in a hook. And he's confident that he can do that. And just to one-upman him, Ryan has claimed that in round three or four, he will, off the start, dead wrist tricep press Brendan to the pad. This is big claims, mate.
Oh, my God.
But would he do that if Danny Tesh is in the room?
you got to be careful with whatever you do, then.
Hey, joking aside, that is not an easy thing to pull off. I know we make light of it, but I thought it was a really good post from Rob, that, because not many guys would do the point he was making there. I think the terminology he used was something like they've got a lane or they've got a groove and they stick to that groove through thick or thin, most people. And I think there's some element of truth in that. I think a lot of the elite guys do know where their strengths are, and when they're at that high level, high pressure situation, you don't often see too many guys deviate. There are a few.
Yeah, that's why I don't do well in tournaments, because I don't have an ace up my sleeve. There is no one trigger of mine that is that 10-20% better than every other move that I've got. And because I don't have that, I don't do as well in tournaments. That's the simple truth of it. I'm right from the beginning of me studying the sport, I identified that my arm and hand was an average size. I thought, well, I'm not tall, I'm not short, my hand isn't big, my hand isn't small, it's just right in the middle. So I figured, well, I got to be able to do everything, because I'm going to come up against opponents with all sorts of differences, both on the longer side and the shorter side. So I need to be able to do everything. So right from the beginning, that's been my goal, is to be fully well-rounded.
And you, let's be honest, Ryan, you do love a strap. I mean, it's pretty sure we're going to end up in a strap.
I think Bart might as well just strap it up. I think that even outside of, I don't think anyone's going to be really holding on outside of the strap. We might flirt with it for a quarter of a second. You're going to throw me in a hook out of the strap now. Jeez.
Yeah, of course. Alan Guerra did it. Alan Guerra had you in a fucking dad's move, man. Like, wait till you see what I do coming at you.
Oh my god, he did as well, didn't he?
Wait till you see the velocity I'm coming at you. It's 10 times harder than Anguera. I got way more than he has there. Just wait and see, my man.
Alan Guerra's hand would like swallow your hand. You got this little baby skinny wrist.
Oh my God, it's all coming back now. I remember that because he was saying to you, he was looking at you, and he was even saying it in that Spanish. He was like, "Where'd you going? Where'd you going, Ryan?
Where are you going, Ryan? Where are you going?
Where'd you going? Where were you going, Ryan, at that point?"
If Alan Guerra's throwing you in a hook, wait till BLM throws you in a hook.
Oh my goodness!
Just wait and see, my man.
You don't have the right set of tools to do what Alan did in that round one, and that's round one. God. Like, how did he get me to hook again after that?
You don't realize this. Wait till I clamp and I fucking get my shoulder behind it, get on top of you, and grind and grip.
I don't want to know what you're clamping.
Grind. I will grind you and saw you down to the pin line.
Ladies and gents, we got to take a short break right there, but please do not go away. We'll be right back with more action in just a second. Welcome back to the show, guys. If you're just joining us, you are missing a cracker, and welcome on board. Four guests with me today, two from the middleweight roster, two from the lightweight roster. Brendan Lemon, Ryan Bowen, Adam the Angry Bird Wilmot, and Jamie Sheldon. Let's get back into the mix with the guys right now. Ryan, you're in a situation where you're going to be standing across the table from Brendan Lemon with his eyes black as balls, looking at you going, "Where'd you going, you silly little goose?"
Yo, if he says that, I will give him $500, man. Canadian, because I'm not that much rich.
No, look, dude. Brendan forcing me into a hook out of straps is a really small percentage likelihood.
Oh, that's, my God.
That's so far. And I mean, to do that out of straps, you're just risking me actually flash pinning you. Like, if you literally try to set that.
Are you pumping yourself up like you were for somebody, though? That's the question.
Are you pumping lower trying to die for you?
What was that?
I put much bigger, much stronger people than you into a hook off that go. Without this drop, I'm even worse to deal with. You'll be holding on to me the whole way down, man. You'll be holding on to me the whole way down, man. I promise you this.
Do you feel comfortable in a hook, Brendan? Because you're primarily known as a top roller, mate. Everybody's expecting that you're coming in there and you're going to light Ryan up with the top roll early doors. I mean, Adam said it a moment ago. Jamie, didn't you call that as well? I think that's where most people believe you're going to go.
Well, the thing is I'm kind of right in between. Like, I'm a high hooker, right? I believe I'm more of like a high hooker. But the thing is I actually have the choice to hook and roll and hook and roll when I get into the sticky spot. It's like right in the middle is usually my go-to, so I don't limit myself. So I have the choice. If something doesn't feel right, I'm safe, and I have my shoulder committed just to the right center of the table to roll out if I have to and get back into the hook if I have to. So this is why, without that strap, if I can push past my opponent and have everything I need and I can visualize where I have to go, right before that go, it's boom, I'm set, I'm locked. Now I can roll out. Now I can finish it, but I have more options. I'm not going to just come into a match and be like, I'm going to top roll this guy. I'm going to hook this guy. What I want to do is I want to feel, squeeze, and see the path of least resistance. That's always my go-to. I'm not worried about where I'm strong. I study where my opponents are weak, and it's been like that since day one.
Well, it's interesting that you say that you've got the choice, because I don't know whether you're aware, but you are speaking to a man from Australia who has the choice to give away elements of his game. Even at that point, when you start to take it, that's okay, mate. You can have my hand. You can have my wrist. You may even have my arm, but you will never take my freedom. Tell him about that, right?
Give me to the punch.
That's why the king... That little point and that little lesson goes over the head of so many fans of the sport and novices and amateurs and half the pros even disagree with the concept of giving away a losing battle. And it's just, I mean, Brendan will agree. He's someone as a student of Devin Larry. Fighting a losing battle is crazy. The sooner you can identify a losing battle and choose to trade, that's technical arm wrestling. So I'll be giving away whatever needs to be given away just to make Brendan bleed a little harder.
Oh, silence fell across the land in Canada.
Oh, hey. How's it going, boys?
Speak for a
second. Oh, it's okay. I'm going to give him an excuse. He got a pass out. Brendan actually lost connection there. I thought that that was filled with so much depth, Brendan, that we lost you for a minute there, just while you tried to figure out.
I was going
to
let him. Go ahead, Neil. I was going to let him respond, but I was like, well, that was. I mean, and Ryan nailed it on the head. I mean, it's ego gets involved. If you're in a losing position, but you still see some daylight, you have to remember that you're trying to win over five rounds. And if you gas yourself because your ego is too big, that's super match arm wrestling. That's why you did this since 92, Neil, with Arm Wars, right? Mm-hmm.
Correct. Yeah.
This is part of the
you know,
battle.
I was just thinking, go back and watch Travis versus Devin on Arm Wars. I think that's going to be very similar to how Brendan and Ryan Bowen are going to pull.
Oh, some real problems for that big mouth right now. That match you took in the gathering, top of Vegas MGM.
Yes, are you sir. That's what I'm
okay, the gathering. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's what I'm talking about. Is the gathering when him and Devin? It started off with Travis taking him down to the pad pretty quick in the first couple matches, and then Devin finding his sticking spot and doing what Devin does. I have a sneaking suspicion that's how this match could go.
I agree totally. And the thing is, Brendan, I know I can just sense him and feel he's kind of disappointment that he wants to be the Devin Larratt in this one. But everyone's predictions, Brendan, is that you're the one going to be doing the thrashing. And even Devin Larratt himself made the prediction on this podcast a couple of weeks ago when Neil asked him, how's it going to go? He said, someone's going to slam someone in round one and then they're going to end up quitting. Do you really, in your deep down, believe that it's me that's going to slam you in round one and then you're going to make me quit?
I'm just going to slam you in round one, and then we're going to see what happens after that. Round two, round
three. It must kind of crush your soul, though, to have your hero and your coach.
I don't rely on people's opinions. I pull from with my heart, and I pull.
No, of course not. But still, it hurts when someone says
that. Doesn't mean a single thing to me. That's high hooker. We're a team. You got to remember. If you come in too confident and you believe all these predictions and you go by with these polls, the polls are 90-10. Oh, I'm going to win. All right. We're going to see what happens.
This is the first time I've been a favorite in a match in a long time. It's kind of foreign territory to me. So it's kind of interesting.
You just come in with that confidence, and whenever I clamp my wrist and I cup you in, we're going to see, bud. We're going to see.
We will see. We will see.
No, it won't be funny. It's going to suck.
Are you telling me you don't
I'll be entertained either way, I'll tell you that much.
Man, I can't wait. I cannot wait for this. Because you know what I can't wait for the most? I can't wait for the after party. That's what I cannot wait for the after party because one of you guys it's gonna be so pissed off.
Can you imagine losing your debut though? Like where to from there?
That's the difference. This is my debut.
Well, I
got the pressure. I got to train hard. I have to train that extra lip, that extra rep. I got to train harder. You're right. You're exactly right. You're coming into your second match. You're comfortable. You know what's going to happen. You think you're going to beat me, but I'm coming in and I'm ready to put it all on the line. I'm ready to be at the pin line and hold and grind and not give up. I got that spirit in me and I have that heart. You give up matches.
I wish you'd stop referring to the grind thing. Adam's going to be reaching for the tissues.
I'm full of grit and heart. And nobody makes
deal,
me quit.
Kill his,
one man
don't
made
don't
me
kill
quit.
His misses
for that one, Neil.
This is his war speech right now. Right up front, beating the drum. Don't kill it. I'm pleased you're really fired up.
Just dropping your back tits and giving me a call, okay? You just brought that up.
Sorry, I didn't mean to, Ryan. Carry
on. Back tits. Side tits.
Side tits, man. Ankle tits. Side tits. Right, Ryan. Fire on. Come on.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, look, I'm glad you fired up, Brendan. I think that it'd be... anything else wouldn't be Brendan Lemon Melville Hill. So you're going to do what you're going to do, but this is just the first chapter in the whole journey for you. And where I'm early on it too, but I think that you need a good disappointing loss to actually evolve in your own game. And I'm going to give it to you, man.
No, you're not.
Honestly, the one way that I see Brendan potentially getting the job done. He needs to be able to have my wrist back three times. If my wrist is flat or if my wrist is bent, even worse for him, the match won't go.
So he needs to do it.
Mate, let's be honest here, right? You hit the nail on the head a few moments ago when we were talking about your comments online with the choice to give your wrist, choice to give your hand, give your arm. Now, yes, 75, well, actually, I think it was about 77.777% of the professional arm wrestlers in the world really thought that you were on the bong. Not only that, they thought that that's fine if you're in a controlled situation, the match has stopped and you can break down increments. But when you get lit up, if somebody lights you up off the start and they've just got too much hand and wrist, too much height, too much pronation, there's a myriad of things that they've just got too much and they're applying it too quickly, it's incredibly difficult to make any kind of choice there. Because if you get goldfished, if you just get blown to the pad, that's got to be a present risk.
Have a look at my match with Chance Shaw. That's exactly what happened round one.
I guessed
what he was going to do, and ready go happens, and I instantly felt, well, mistake, nothing there. I gave everything away. I totally let my arm go, did nothing. And he belted me to the pad with zero pressure from me and said, oh, my goodness, you are weak, and then celebrated like he'd already won the whole thing. And then we know what happened from there. So even in those circumstances where someone is just an absolute bull and wins everything off the go, you still feel it, you still choose. And I had zero work on my arm after being down 1-0 from Chance. So, well, as opposed to going, oh,
Chance is one thing, but if you look at Chance's pulling style, it's fair to say that it is more of a relaxed top rolling style. It's got some speed, but he doesn't seem to have that wired explosivity, that real intensity that Brendan does bring. So that's got to make you think, it's a risky, you know. Chance of the light brigade
more. Would have more power. I'm certain that Chance has more power in that move than Brendan would, but Brendan, as you said, more speed, more variety in what he can do off the go. But Chance's strongest vector, he was a tank. It felt horrible. So as soon as I felt that, I thought, well, okay, stay away from that. So that's what I did.
Brendan.
You
obviously said that you're going to look to crack him into the hook. You're going to set the hook. Let's paint a scenario here, right? Okay. Round one comes, the drops, goal drops, and you go firing through and you get a pin in a top roll, and it's a rapid pin. Are you going to finish the day, bang, bang, bang? If you get the opportunity to run through that little chink of light three times, are you going to take it, light him up and leave the building, mic drop, gone? Well, how do you see it? Or would you get to a situation where you'd let this guy back into the match? Because that's an interesting thing. Jamie, a moment ago, spoke about you know, that risk and that sort of pride getting in the way. Are you going to be mature enough in this match to just finish, Ryan, if you have the opportunity to do that?
Well, if in round one, if I take him, obviously I want to come out and I want to bring the heat. I want to be the best me I can be round one, and I want to win convincingly. I'm not going to be stupid. I'm not going to try and gas myself. I'm not going to try and blow myself up. But, you know, I want to win. I want to go home, and I want to tell my country and my family that I did what I said I was going to do. So I think I'm going to look Ryan in the end of the eyes by the end of the match, and he's going to remember me. He's going to remember everything he said before this match. He's going to remember all the choices he said he was going to have to be able to beat me. And I'm not knocking Ryan. He's really cool. He's a good arm wrestler. He's got the tools to possibly maybe beat me. But I just got a lot more hurt than him. That's the difference maker in this match, is my ability to just fire it the fuck up, do what I have to do to get that damn win. He doesn't have the grit that I have, and I've seen it lots. He has given his arm up lots. I don't. I'm in there to win and do it convincingly so I can climb up that next step, climb up that ladder.
So what's your answer to Neil's question? Are you going to top roll three times, or are you going to try to showboat and come into a hook? If you, if you're up 2-0 and have top rolled me twice, are you going to do it again, or are you going to show me this hook of yours?
You don't think I can hook? I'll put you at round one. Let's go inside. We'll see what happens.
It's that time again, ladies and gentlemen. We got to take a short break, but please go up, get yourself a brew, do what you got to do, because we'll be back in just a few. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to an emotionally charged, intense episode of the World Arm Wrestling League this week. The middleweights and the lightweights primed and ready for WAL 601, and they are going at it. Let's get back into the action right away.
You want to pin me three times as fast as you can. If you play with fire and slow something down to try to make a point, it'll be the worst decision you've made. If you can see victory right there, take it, because any hesitations and it'll totally collapse on you.
No, you don't even know what's going to come, my friend. You don't even know what's going to happen. I promise you. I promise you everything in your imagination and your fairy tale that's going through your mind right now, shit's going to hit the fan when Bart says go. I'm promising you that right now. Everybody knows it over here. My family know. I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen.
It's already
happened. It's already happened, my friend. I've seen it.
Kevin Costner, Field of Dreams, Brendan Lemon. I love your faith, man. I love your faith in it. But yeah, I'm trying to be a realist here. I know I sound like a cocky realist right now, but yeah, you might win. And if you do, I'll shake your hand. But
It's the same thing for me. If you beat me, it's respect, man. It's gonna be nothing's changed. It's
I'm no. If he beats you, slam his head off the table, please.
No, it's not the end of the journey, see, man. It would never be the end of the journey. I'm young, man. Like I am. I've got so much of a ceiling to go, and I've got years and years and years and years to go before I even reach my prime. Right now, you are. I'm not going to say you're old, but the time left that you have to put in is not nearly going to be as good as mine. And that's what it is. I'm going to come and do what I have to do what I have been doing, and I'm going to mark my words. It's going to happen. I'm going to win this match and take that shit back home.
Now, Brendan, obviously, you got a big up there from Adam. He gave you the nod, and it's been doing so throughout this for the win. Now, when you look at Jamie versus Adam, how do you see that, mate? You didn't weigh in on that argument. Where do you see the strengths, the weaknesses of each of those guys, and how do you see that one shaping up? Because that'll have just taken place as you're about to take your place on the stage.
Yeah, so I've never met Jamie. I've never gripped up with him. And I've only obviously gripped up with Adam the one time. And I think Adam had a lot of matches that day. He was strong, but I'm just looking at it from body type. Jamie seems to be, how tall are you, Jamie? Like 6'2" or something?
I wish. Then I would have been in the NFL. No, I'm 6'.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I feel like your build, you look longer and you look like you have possibly more leverage, which is extremely important, obviously, in this sport that we know of. And I've seen your arms. You look like you got at least some freaking 18. Like you got some big arms on you, so you obviously have the arm power as well. Adam's got that hand strength. I felt it from him. He's got that back pressure. I felt him. He's very tight, and he's controlled. So it's a little tough for me to make a prediction on that match because I've never actually seen Jamie pull in live, or I've never felt him out. But if I never knew these two guys,
hey,
and I never knew
Brendan,
anything about them,
stop.
And I looked,
do me
and
a
I
favor.
Just looked at them, I would probably say Jamie might win that match only because of his build, because he looks like he might have more options. But I have felt Adam. I know he's got the strength to be able to win this match. We've seen it. He's beaten Jeff, obviously, guy with, past hammer holder. He's got the big arms, and he's got that really wicked hook power. So we've seen him. Adam be able to beat guys with that hook power. So it's a little tough for me to pick for this match, It's a really hard prediction.
Just pick Jamie, so I have a little bit more fuel for the fire. Just pick Jamie so I can be pissed off about it, and I can have a little bit more to go on. All right? Just do it. Everybody else does, so just hammer away, brother. It's only going to help.
I noticed Jamie. He looks like he drives to the side lots. So I'm doing that against a guy with that hand control. Obviously, maybe it might be tough for Jamie to get that finished, but I mean, look at Alan Fisher. He's known for his big, strong hand. So it's such a super tough match, and it's extremely entertaining. So I'm going to be excited to see the outcome, and I hope both of them show up the best they can, and I hope they both have the performance of their lifetime, because, you know what I mean? The winner moves on. But if I have to pick, from knowing what I know out of these guys, I think Adam might have to possibly come out the winner. I think if he has his wrist
and he keeps what he needs,
that's what he would need to finish this match, in my opinion.
You got to say,
Jamie has said that he's pulled without his hand. He said he'll push to the side, but if Adam is strong enough to keep that hand control and keep absorbing those hits, that's what it would take to win. And I'd be super excited to see it happen.
Well, obviously, Adam, you've already told us that you're coming in a much stronger, better, well-rounded and conditioned version of yourself. We know you're coming in bigger. And to be fair, the other thing that's going to obviously resonate with Brendan particularly is that you've been past your debut. This isn't your first rodeo. So you've had that taste of World Arm Wrestling League experience, which many people say definitely benefits you. So from that perspective, it absolutely benefits. Yeah. So you got it. That's going to do your confidence a world of good, mate, to be honest.
I've always seemed to perform better under the big lights and on the bright stage. It's just always seemed to be that way. The crowd brings it out of me. And when I see what's out there in LA, when I pop out on that stage, you're probably going to see the most intense, insane version of the Angry Bird that's ever fucking walked the planet. You know what I mean? And I'm kind of scared of what might happen.
I am. And Ryan, really scared. Yeah. So
this is a match that I can't wait to watch, and I can't wait to. I want to be right there in Jamie's corner, so that when Angry Bird's looking over Jamie's shoulder, he has to look at me the whole time, and he'll see me cheering for Jamie, and he'll see me telling Jamie where I can see faults in Angry Bird's game. I can't wait to get under his skin. It's going to be amazing.
I'm going to be so focused on what I'm there to do, that I'm not even going to notice anybody in the crowd. I'm going to come out on the stage, and I'll see everybody out there, and then it's just going to be complete focus on what I'm there to do after that.
That's the most sensible thing I've heard you say.
You're not going to factor into my game plan at all. All right?
How come you're getting sensible?
Don't give yourself too much credit.
What's going on?
Well, let's be honest to you guys. Both these matches, different weight divisions, but the connotations are significant for both. I mean, this sets you up for real progression. You're at the sharp end of the season. You're coming in 6-0-1. If you get a win here, really good progression opportunities throughout the year. Everybody's going to be talking about this. If you land on your ass, not great. Yeah, particularly with the queue of hungry guys, you know. I mean, so many lightweights out there, so many middleweights out there. It's a talent.
You have to win. You have to win, or that could be it. I mean, we're all lucky to be here. It's like these hundreds of posts that these morons are making online. It's like, oh, this guy should be in. This guy should be in. Yeah, there's literally hundreds of people on every continent that should have matches if in a perfect world we lived in, but we don't. But what do these people have to offer? I'm not saying I'm the most marketable person, but I'm saying I'll sell this fucking sport. There's some guys on this that'll sell it better than me, and they are. There's a guy on this phone call who's selling this sport better than everybody, other than Neil. Neil's still the man. Sorry, Ryan, but Ryan's pretty damn good at it. But you know what I mean? Like, this is everybody's opportunity to further the sport, better themselves, and then, yeah, if you can get back to Chicago, in one of those next matches after this, but don't look at it now because you still got something big right in front of you. I mean, everybody's lucky to be here. So when people post the hell this shit, Chicago, that's the one.
I want to go to Atlanta. All right. Let's get that straight right now. I know you and me got business to settle first.
We're not going straight to Atlanta if you beat me.
But I want to go to Atlanta. Let's just put that out there right now. That's the ultimate goal, is Atlanta. And whatever's on the road to that, I'm going to prepare myself for. And you're the first step. All right?
Ooh, so let's say that Jamie is a step, okay? And I'm going to spin this both ways. Adam, if you get through Jamie Sheldon, who would you like to arm wrestle most? Who do you want next if you get through him?
Man, I really, really want everybody on the roster. I mean, I know that's kind of a cop-out, but I also have unfinished business with Giannis Amelins, and that's true, too. So I want to arm wrestle him. I want to prove to myself that I could beat him fresh for fresh and not have anybody talking shit that he was tired or anything like that. Now, I know nobody believes me that I can beat him. Nobody believed me when I said I could beat Jeff. So keep on doubting. I'll just keep on proving people wrong. All right.
Jamie, same question.
Okay, well, not to sound just like Adam, but yes, I do have a list, and here's why. I've got unfinished business. I need to extinguish the Hail Fire, who's a good friend of mine. Yes, we all know he's a friend of mine, but it's business. I'd like to disable the Iron Man if he's fresh and ready to go at some point. I mean, that's the ultimate strength test, is pulling Tony Katowski. Sam Harris, I haven't pulled him in 6 years, but I have permanent – you know what? I'll post this. I have permanent fingernail marks, scars in my hand from Sam Harris from about 6 years ago. So I'd love to pull him again. And then, you know, at some point, I'd like to execute Order 66 and take out the Jedi. That's like the ultimate challenge, right? You want to be stronger than Tony, and you want to out-arm wrestle Giannis. Then you're the king of the lightweights, and you got that hammer. So you have to beat both of them to own this. But you got to beat everybody else in. You got to beat everybody else in line too. So, okay, and then throwing everybody else in there.
Brendan Lemon, let's come to you, mate. So yeah. Brendan, you get through Ryan Bowen. Suddenly, you've all that momentum, all the stuff that he brought from his debut in the win against Guerra, all that conversational stuff that he's amassed and built up with the bottom eight win, with the win over Chance. You would then sort of automatically be encapsulated within that whole discussion. Who would you like to bounce at next? Who would be in your sights? If you could pick one from the current roster or guys that are on the fringe, who do you see yourself most? Who's your tastiest matchup out there?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously we're all in here for the same reason. We want to be the man. We want to be the man to beat. We want the hammer, but to make all things fair, you got to earn it, right? So for me, the last man to take me out was Paul Lynn, and that was 2 years ago. So, and I made it hell for him. I still made it hell for him, but he beat me. He was a better man. So, I mean, obviously, we're great buddies, but if it came down to it, he got in the way. I'd have to come back, and I would love to get that chance to prove myself. I believe I can do it. I respect Paul's capabilities to the extreme, because he's an extremely good athlete and very humble, and he's really cool. So I would love to have my chance against Paul Lynn again, because he beat me. I've been thinking about it ever since, and I hate losing. So I would love that chance. If it was be able to come possible, I would love it. I think he would too.
Last but by no means least, Ryan Blue Bowen.
Yeah, Neil, I don't think it's any hidden fact that that I have a soft spot for Justin Bishop, and at some point in my life, I need to have that match. And it's the need is not out of me trying to prove myself against anything in particular. It's just I love that match. It's getting your revenge on someone that was the catalyst to me becoming a pro level arm wrestler is just an amazing opportunity. And Justin, we know that there's a lot of story between me and Justin, and I think a lot of people would love to see it. So if I'm good enough to get through Brennan, it's a super easy choice for me with Justin. And for me, I feel like if I was capable of getting through Justin, which personally I believe I would be, then I've been dreaming about how I would stop someone like RVJ. I mean, that's always there. And if the cards fall the right way, it'd be an absolute honor to see what I could do against that man someday.
Ladies and gentlemen, the World Arm Wrestling League 2020 600 Series Majors are almost upon us. April 21st, Los Angeles, the Avalon, place host to WL601. The first two matches are confirmed. You've been listening to the guys for the last couple of weeks. I think you'll agree it's going to be intense. Do not miss it. Check it out. I know these guys are going to be training extremely hard. Fellas, thank you very much for taking the time out over the last couple of episodes to join us. I want to wish you all the very best with your training and preparation. We may get a chance to check in with you guys before it goes down. If not, bring it.
I'll go choke, Neil.
Pleasure, mate. Thank you.
Thanks so much for the opportunity. Amazing.
Always a pleasure, Neil.
Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, that is all we've got time for. I've got to bring the curtain down on a fabulous two-parter. I want to say a massive thank you to my guests, Canada's Brendan Lemon Mulvihill, Australia's Ryan Blue Bowen, the Angry Bird, Adam Wilmot, and the amazing and very sexy Mr. Jamie Sheldon of California, USA. I also want to say a massive thank you to all of you guys for one more time taking your time to check us out, tune in, and we hope you will again, same time, next time, right here on the World Arm Wrestling League This Week, with my fine fat self, Neil Pickup. Until then, you know the drill. Take it easy, peeps.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.